This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.
Right now, though, we are going to the phone lines where we are joined by Brent Henderson. He is the author of the book, The Roar Within, Unleashing the Powerful Truth of Who You Really Are. Brent, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Hey, good morning. Man, by the sound of like little alarm thing you kind of gave off, I think you've got the roar already triggered in you.
We've got it.
Did you get Starbucks for Father's Day?
The caffeine has been imbibed this morning, I can tell you that. So, Brent, you are a lot of things. You're an outdoorsman, you're a pastor, you're a speaker. And I know you speak at a lot of men's events and men's retreats. But what was the impetus for this book and to decide to write about the roar within us?
You know, I've been a pastoral coach, a life coach, whatever you want to call it, for so many years, and seeing people just be tyrannized by, you know, unhealthy thoughts, emotions, and actions that it paralyzes. They don't perform their best. They're so worried about what other people think about them. And so the whole thing with the roar within came out of how do we live out of that place, that core within us, that we can get rid of all that stuff and actually be in the place where we're healthy, performing at our best, and understanding the confidence, you know, and finding the courage that God gave us inside, you know, to live that life to the full that he promised us. So that's kind of where it all came from.
And it's kind of interesting because it's like a combination of like an adventure book as well as, a spiritual guiding book, because you take us kind of all over the place.
Yeah, my kids would always say, Dad, what do I tell people you do for a living? I never knew what to tell them because I was involved in Christian music for years. I've been on a lot of different hunting pro staffs. Being in ministry, and God just kind of had a way of saying, you know what, I want to take all that, I want to put it together because I know it's going to be able to lead to something that people will sit on the edge of their seat and go, tell me more. So that's kind of how it all came together, I guess.
And you start your book in the introduction, by the way, in one of my favorite places in the entire world is Kruger National Park in South Africa.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what a place. That is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to stand Pennsylvania up on end, that's about how big Kruger is. People don't realize this isn't like some little zoo fenced in place. It's massive.
And I just remember because we were there on a mission trip many years ago, and the stars that you see, because you're miles and miles away from any kind of city or any kind of light pollution, and it's just amazing. And you gave you an idea.
Oh, we'd be grilling out hamburgers at night and look up and you'd see the Southern Cross, you know, just clear as could be.
Yeah, it's really... You know, it was cool to get a perspective of God's creation in a deeper way than you know, you normally do, right? You strip away all the things that kind of blind you to that, and then you can really see the depth of God's creation. And that's kind of seems like a lot of what you're talking about in the book, that and you kind of gear this toward men, that a lot of things that have piled on into men that kind of blind them to who they really are in Christ.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we get away from the matrix where we're plugged in, It just kind of helps us be able to stay in the moment, because one of the things that tyrannizes all of us is past and future thinking. You know, whenever I'm around people, sometimes I'm going, man, remember when I used to be so skinny, or remember when I used to weigh this much? They knew my past, and I'm worried about my future. But when I'm out there, I'm in the moment. And I think that's one of the things I talk about in the book that's so important, because God doesn't want us bringing back regret about our past. And he isn't wanting us worrying about tomorrow. He wants us to stay in the moment. And that's kind of one of those places where when I'm out there, it really keeps me in check.
Now, you talk about in your book the big five man killers. Of course, the big five are the big people not familiar in hunting lore and safari lore. The big five are the big five animals in Africa that they used to like to hunt. But you talk about the big five man killers. What are the big five man killers?
The Big Five Man Killers came out of a private face group that I have. I run. It's called Dangerous Men. And I said, guys, I want you to tell me what the top five things that really pursue you and tyrannize you, things like fear, worry, doubt, shame, guilt, lust, jealousy, whatever. I gave them about 20 things. And the reason I said Big Five is in Africa, you know, you have the Big Five. You've got the rhino, you've got the lion, you've got the Cape buffalo, the elephant, and the leopard. And they were given those names because of how deadly they are. And that's what these things are within the book. I give these names to, and they kind of wound up, you know, I did them on a scale, you know, by the responses guys gave. I thought either lust or, lack of respect would be number one. It wasn't. It was lack of purpose. Mm. So lack of purpose was number one. That was the number one big five man killer. Number two was lack of respect. We know, man, we struggle with needing respect from others. Number three was anger. You know, we know that thing. It's under the hood. Men just struggle with. It's there. We don't know why sometimes. Number four was lust. I think that one popped out real easy. We know the struggles that we can have with that. And the number five was shame. And that's something I think all of us can relate to. So that's kind of how they got their name. And they're given those names for a specific reason. You know, like the rhino was lack of purpose. Rhinos, man, they just walk around. They defecate in the same place. That's how you find them when you're trying to locate a rhino, because it's the size of a dung pile, the size of a Volkswagen. And that's really all they do. They take a mud bath, they eat, but they're extremely dangerous if they spot you and you're too close. Number two, the lion, you know, lack of respect. Well, we all know lions are the king of the beasts, but when a lion walks up on a hyena kill, he's not too worried about it. And he'll just walk right up with two or three hyenas and have his way. But if he gets too many hyenas, when he does that, walks right into it, he's in a world of hurt, because a whole group of hyenas will take a lion down unless he's got backup. Number three, with the Cape buffalo, people don't realize more people are killed in Africa every year by Cape buffaloes than any other animal. And, you know, that's why they're given the name Black Death. And that anger, man, is just right below the surface. We had a Cape buffalo ram our Jeep. Did about $20,000 of damage just because something ticked him off. We didn't do anything. So you can see that. And then number four was the elephant, which was lust. And, you know, you'll see an elephant take down a whole tree just to pull out one root to chew on to get some water. And that was grown for 30 or 40 years. You know, it was totally destroyed. And that's exactly what can happen when a man begins to lust and he runs to things like porn or affairs. You know, he can bring down that whole family system. And then number five was shame, and you can see how each one of those played into that. And I gave that to the leopard, because what a leopard does, he'll drag that kill, 130, 40-pound, you know, animal up into a tree where everyone can see it hanging there. And that's what the enemy does. He brings our sin up where it seems like everyone can see it, because he wants us to feel ashamed and go into hiding. Because if we go into hiding, God, again, because we just want to try to feel good in the moment, and we know that sin has an immediate payoff. And that's why it's so attractive. And he'll drag it up for everyone to see. And so, you know, within the book, you know, I talk about how do we then defeat these big five man killers? And it really comes down to the words. It's identity, identity, identity. Because when I know who I am in Christ at my core, I'm not tyrannized by having to try to get the respect of others, because you can't add to what I already have. You know, I find my purpose there. My anger goes down. Everything changes. So that's kind of a lot of the book right there in a nutshell.
So, you know, and we hear that, and I think that resonates with people saying, yes, you know, when we find our identity in Christ, we really find who we are, who we're made to be, who we're created to be, how we're made to live. I mean, really, everything's there. So why is it so hard for us to find our identity in Christ?
Yeah, well, here's one of the biggest things. You know, when I'm working with a guy this morning on a pastoral staff. You know, he's been struggling a lot with you know, external thinking, which isn't healthy. Well, one of the things I'm going to walk him down through this morning is help him understand his identity, which is, you know, body, soul, spirit, like 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says. But his spirit was inhabited by the promised Holy Spirit the moment he truly believed. So that's the core of who he is. But we know our flesh. We know our mind, our thoughts, that those two things are, you know, our flesh and our soul. But in the spirit, we really don't think that much about Christ really being in us. So what I'll be doing is I'll have him identify the unhealthy emotions he's struggling with. Then I'll have him identifying the unhealthy thought, creating it. And then I'm going to have him identify what God's truth is about those things. And we can do all that, but here's the problem. This is why we get stuck. Number four says to renew your mind with that truth you just discovered in number three. You know, Romans 12:2 says we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. My job isn't the transformation. That's God's job. My job is the renewing. What ends up happening is when the enemy comes after us and we go into hiding, the last thing we feel like doing sometimes is renewing, because we feel like a failure. And that's when we try to run from God rather than running back and saying, God, who am I to you? And then renewing our mind over and over with his word. So it's difficult, because if you don't do number four on that list, nothing's going to change.
Yeah. So you titled your book, The Roar Within. So what is that? How does that kind of summarize what you're talking about? And when we're living that identity in Christ, what is that roar within?
Yeah, roar within is being able to live out of that place where Christ is. Because when we understand, one of the things I always say to guys is when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's created in the image of the living God, when he's no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good. So when a man learns to live out of that place, where he doesn't have to worry about trying to find his good enough anymore, because he's already good enough in the eyes of God because of God's righteousness in him. He's free to fail. I mean, that roar comes out, and I'm not worried about whatever I do, because I know no matter what happens, my worth and value never, ever changes in the eyes of God.
We're talking with Brent Henderson. The book is The Roar Within, Unleashing the Powerful Truth of Who You Really Are. And Brent, if folks are interested in finding out more information about this book, about your ministry, how can they do so?
Yeah, you can find the book. You can go to Baker Bookhouse. You know, you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, lots of places. You know, to find out about the ministry that I do and speaking, I do a lot of men's events, a lot of churches. You can go to men, not men's, but menministry.org.
Excellent. All right. So I know you do a lot of wild game dinners. Got to ask you, favorite game meat?
My favorite game?
Favorite game meat.
Oh, favorite game. Oh, wow. I mean, moose roast is amazing. Deer tenderloins, I mean, are just phenomenal. I mean, I love it all. Even in fishing, I love halibut. I love salmon. I mean, I really love it all. Like everything that I harvest, you know, my family eats. So.
I got to tell you, best thing I ever ate when we were in South Africa, giraffe.
Huh.
I've never had that.
Oh,
it was at the place called The Carnivore, and they had, you know, different wild games, and they cook it over an open fire, you know, roasted over a pit. Oh, I'm telling you, giraffe.
Yeah, that's one of the best things about being over there is at the end of the evening after safari, whether it's photo or hunting safari, you come back, and they cook up that amazing African cuisine and just tell the stories. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. So, yeah, if you ever get a chance, giraffe. I can't. We live right next to the zoo here in Toledo, and we have a big giraffe exhibit. Every time I go by, my mouth starts watering. It's terrible. Hey, Brent, once again, give folks the website if they want to find out more information.
Again, go to menministry.org.
Menministry.org. Hey, Brent, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. You guys have a great day.
You too.
No more coffee.
That's right. That's done. I got to limit myself to one. Thanks, Brent.
This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.